Well, hello and welcome along to The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and we are here for all your golf betting needs, previewing the season finale of the DP World Tour. Steve, how are you?
Hiya, Dave. Yeah, I'm okay, thanks. How are you? It was obviously another testing week. I was praying that Garrick Higo could defend that lead on Sunday night. My hopes and dreams were in the hands of Garrick Higo. But unfortunately, my hopes and dreams ended up in a bush to the right of the 12th fairway. Did you see that shot, Dave? That was the key moment on Sunday. He took a spoon off the tee for safety, but the shot was anything but safe. I mean, there's hardly any serious trouble spots on that golf course, and he found one of them and made a double bogey from there. So, lots to talk about. The Higopotamus ride was intense.
Okay, well, listen, there's a lot to unwrap from last week. There was some, I want to call them controversial picks from you, but there wasn't really. The YouTube comments came alive, but we'll go in sort of chronological order. I know you like to do that. Do remember to get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We want to hear from you. Jump in the comments. Who's going to oblige this week? Who's carrying your money? Your thoughts on Steve's picks are always entertaining for me. So we will dive straight in. Right, we'll go with the Abu Dhabi Championship, won by Aaron Rye in a playoff with Tommy Fleetwood, who you did give a big mention to last week as the player that you sort of struggled to keep out of your team. He showed up well, but he was turned over in a playoff.
Yeah, Aaron Rye, 25-1 winner. He won after almost 2 months off. We hadn't seen him since the BMW PGA at Wentworth. He was third at Wentworth and then took some time off. Hold loads of putts in round one, which is traditionally a weakness. So a hot putter in round one was a surprise. Then just did classic Aaron Rye from there. Pounded greens in regulation over the final three rounds. Third DP World Tour title. The second time he's beaten Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff. That's how the 2020 Scottish Open ended too. I just find it hard to get excited about Aaron Rye. Yeah, if Aaron Rye wins, I'm very rarely happy because he just plods along, doesn't make many mistakes. Wears those two gloves, uses those pink castle tees that you were sending me a picture of the other day, the pink castle tees. He's eccentric in many ways, but can win golf tournaments. He's won on the PGA Tour as well. So, Aaron Rye was a difficult one to find for me. I wanted the other fella to win in the playoff.
I'm hoping our producer Ben can just show the picture that I put in our chat. A massive flex. You're playing golf for $1.5 million in the playoff, and you bring out the big pink castle tee. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think he's a disgrace to the sport for using pink castle tees. If Tommy Tiger, my six-year-old son, put a pink castle tee in the ground, I would immediately destroy it. He's very, very eccentric, as I say, Aaron Rye. He's got a driver that's 7 years old. You know, he's not interested in any of the new drivers. He uses a tailor-made M6 from the dark ages. If you go through his bag, he's got one of the most unusual bags on the professional circuit. I suppose it is a flex. It might put off the opposition, mightn't it? He's the only player that would put a pink castle tee in the ground, and Tommy Fleetwood maybe in the playoff was like, what's going on here? I mean, it's an interesting tactic if it is a tactic, because I was mulling over like how other players could do it. Imagine you get like a really serious player suddenly do that. Imagine if in Tiger Woods back in the day in a playoff situation suddenly went to the locker room and came out wearing leopard skin trousers or a clown mask or something. It would just freak out the opponent, wouldn't it? So, and you only need to unsettle him for one shot and you've won the playoff. So it might be a tactic. He might be cleverer than we give him credit for.
Maybe. Right. The finishing order was, of course, Aaron Rye, Tommy Fleetwood, Nicolai Højgaard, Rory McIlroy with the closing round 62, Daniel Hillier and Richard Mansell. Before we get to the nearlies, if you like, we've got to address Tom McKibben, who was on selection last week. Never really at the races.
No, open with a 75 and just tailed off immediately. He was in the penultimate group out on the first day. So he teed off miles behind and then got further behind. And I mean, I assumed that it'd be all business after Hong Kong. I thought he would just just briefly celebrate the victory and then go to more important matters there. But he clearly had a serious hangover from Hong Kong. And the 75 just left him miles behind. Two double bogeys in round one. So yeah, he's gone from playing perfect golf in Hong Kong to ugly golf in Abu Dhabi. So yeah, hugely disappointed. I mean, the tournament was a real test of fortitude because it was down to either Tom McKibben or Tommy Fleetwood for the for the main money. You know, Ugo Casaud at three figures is always going to be in the staking plan. So you got to pick between Tommy and Tom. And on the Monday, Tom McKibben was 28-1 and Tommy Fleetwood was 6-1. So that's when I make the decision that the value is with Tom McKibben. And then McKibben shortened over the next 24 hours into like 20-1. And Tommy Fleetwood went the other way. And that's not my doing because my previews weren't even out yet. So there was loads of people thought there was early value in McKibben, not just me. And then the prices by Tuesday were different. Now, Fleetwood was available at 8-1 on pre-tournament, 8-1. So yeah, obviously I wake up Thursday kicking myself that I've made the wrong decision. Now, I suppose I could have had all three, but then you're asking a lot of the working man. You know, our audience is the working man. I didn't want to put too much pressure on them. But you know, as time went by, I was fully behind Tommy Fleetwood. I had loads of in-running investments in Tommy Fleetwood. I had the double with Luke Littler, Dave. We discussed that last week, didn't we? I don't want to put pressure on the working man. And you know, if you don't like backing short price golfers, you can find ways of boosting the price. And I got 25-1 on Tommy Fleetwood and Luke Littler on the Wednesday because Fleetwood was drifting. So I would have loved Fleetwood to win. I'd be on Luke Littler at 25-1. And as I say, in running, I was just all over him because there wasn't a moment over the final three rounds of that tournament that I didn't think Tommy Fleetwood was going to win. The only time I thought Tommy Fleetwood was not going to win was when he didn't win. It just suddenly, when he suddenly lost that, you know, he suddenly lost the first playoff. I was like, oh, it is possible that he's not going to win. I was fully behind him on Sunday, Dave, and I was disappointed with the Mr. Pink Castle team, man.
Let's talk Rory McIlroy then. As I mentioned, a final round 62 and a surge up the leaderboard, which he so often does in this event.
Yeah, another Abu Dhabi near miss. I mean, his Abu Dhabi championship record is bonkers. Just always contends, never wins. I mean, I remember being on him way back when and there was a controversial penalty he got for dropping his ball on a walkway, if I remember rightly. He just made a slight drop blunder and I think he got pipped by Pablo Larrabal. I've gone through the Abu Dhabi horrors with Rory in the past. He'll be keen to lay the Abu Dhabi ghost to rest at some point before he hangs up his clubs. But lots to talk about with Rory McIlroy in the DP World Tour Championship betting.
Okay, one player that carried my money last week was Ludwig Aubert, a course debutant. He's a course debutant this week as well, so I'm sure we'll mention him. Quite a roller coaster ride with old Ludwig for me. He carried my money. We had a hole in one. We had all sorts going on.
Yeah, hole in one in round one, I believe, wasn't it? I mean, he was knocking the rust off his game for having not played for a while. I mean, Aaron Rye did it incredibly well. You know, 2 months off. Aaron Rye handled it better than Ludwig Aubert. I mean, there's loads of players that seem to just find their A game spectacularly on Sunday. And we should discuss some of them now because they haven't quite made the DP World Tour Championship staking plan. I mean, Richard Mansell, I don't know if you noticed Richard Mansell, he closed with a 63 for fifth place. Yeah. He lives in Dubai, Dave. So he's playing a home game this week, having come off a 63 in Abu Dhabi. You have to respect Richard Mansell's chances. Angel Ayora, he also closed with a 63, Dave, finished ninth. Making his course debut at Yas Links. He's making another course debut this week. So will it be a similar story for Angel Ayora, you know, settling at a new venue and then coming with a late rattle? I think it probably will. But you know I love Angel Ayora, class act, rising star. And Marco Penge, you know, obviously a sweet spot hero, Marco Penge, also closed with a 63 for a share of ninth place, also making his Yas Links debut, also making his DP World Tour Championship debut this week.
Also in with a chance of winning the whole thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's only three players that can win the race to Dubai. And Rory McIlroy, Marco Penge and Tyrrell Hatton. Will it be a similar story with Penge settling at a new venue, then coming with a late charge? As I say, I respect those three, but they've not made the staking plan.
Right. Anything else to add or should we move on?
No, sir. Let's move on to the Higgopotamus.
Okay, right. Ben Griffin. Was our winner of the Worldwide Technology Championship, 29 under par. We had Chad Romney, Sammy Valamaki, the Higgopotamus, Trevor Cone, all in behind. But it was a third PGA Tour win for Ben Griffin. Only his second appearance since his Ryder Cup debut. Now up to number 9 in the world. He's not the best. He's not the 9th best golfer in the world, is he?
Absolutely not. It's a staggering world ranking, isn't it?
Anyway, an interesting little tidbit for you here. He made birdie on all 4 par 3s in the final round, which I think is very impressive.
That is impressive. I mean, I used to be an assistant professional at Came Down Golf Club in Dorchester, and the members used to come in for their twos money. So if you made a 2 in a competition, you'd come in and get £2. So all these old fellas coming in, oh, I got a 2, and I'd have to dish out the £2. So, Ben Griffin would have got lots of twos money there. I don't think he's world number 9. I think it's a really flattering world ranking. But he punished me for doubting him last week. I mean, some of the putts he held on Sunday night were just enormous. I don't know whether you were following. I went up the snooker club to watch it, because the last time I went up the snooker club to watch a final round of a PGA Tour event, it was Kurt Kitayama winning the 3M Open. So I thought, that's my lucky venue. It felt like my lucky venue until Garrick Higo fired one into that bush on the 12th. Yeah, that was when I realised that Lady Luck is not a member of the snooker club. And so Higo fires into the bush with a spoon. It's like some little driving iron. And he's taken a club for safety. He'd be so regretting he didn't just hit driver now and attack the hole, because he played safe. And there's nothing worse as a golfer, is there, when you take a club for safety and it goes wrong. If you smash a driver into the bush, you feel a bit better about it. He's double bogeyed the 12th to the Higopotamus. Has given himself a mountain to climb with a double bogey at the 12th. Higopotamus is not very good at climbing mountains. That 12th hole was the key to everything, because that 12th hole, Ben Griffin is making his 5th consecutive birdie on that 12th hole. There was a half hour spell in the snooker club where I was with my mate. He really had to work hard on me, because that half hour spell transformed the golf tournament. Griffin holing putts from the lampshades, to use snooker parlance. I was at the bar in the snooker club. The TV's like a little fair way away, and I'm like, I see Griffin dancing around. I think surely he's not old that putt, but his putting was fantastic. And one bad swing cost Higo. But this is the pre-tournament favourite, so I'm pleased for the punting community. Hopefully plenty of punters back the pre-tournament favourite. I mean, I thought he was poor value at those odds. I still think he was poor value at those odds, David. Yeah, the result doesn't change the fact. He was very, very short price for his ability, I think, last week. But he's just riding the crest of a wave, isn't he? I mean, he's won multiple trophies this year. He's made his Ryder Cup debut. He's getting married very, very soon. He's about to get married. So he's full of all these positive vibes. There was a freedom about him on Sunday that a lot of the other players on the leaderboard didn't have, because they'd not been having the successes that he's had. So, interesting week, Dave. Like, I feel like a humbling week, because both winners, Aaron Ryan and Ben Griffin, two players I don't particularly rate. I don't think either of them are world beaters. I think they both get the best out of their games. You know, they're limited players for me. So, but it's a little sort of reminder that, players of that ilk can win trophies.
Okay. Before we move on to this week's action, there is one more thing to address from last week. I think you know what it is. Is it time to stick Michael Thorbjørnsen in the bin?
Oh, blimey, Dave. You're so
keen. I called for it a couple of weeks ago.
I take it you're in charge of the bins in the Clark family home. You're so keen to throw things in the bin, Dave.
Yeah.
Recycling, where your wife doesn't have to worry about recycling. You're all over it. But I'm not throwing Michael Thorbjørnsen in the bin. You know, his first 9 holes, Dave. Very exciting first 9 holes. His first 9. Well, it's funny, because his first 9 holes and his last 9 holes were spectacular. Yeah. The 54 holes in the middle were very frustrating. He finished 54th of the 75 weekend qualifiers for putting. I mean, it's clear where the problem lies. He's 117th on the PGA Tour putting stats for this season. So if he can solve his putting, he will win PGA Tour titles. I'm certain of that. I mean, I know you're starting a witch hunt, Dave. I know you're starting a witch hunt. But I really appreciated some of the positive comment tours last week. Obviously, we expected negative ones.
You know what it is? It's the prices. It's the prices. He's just continuing to go off. Like, in last week, he was what was he, his third, fourth, fifth in the betting? Like, he's always well respected in the market. Is he not a player that you can just let go at the prices?
He's well respected in the market because he's been hitting the ball so well, and he continues to hit the ball so well. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the prices. I want to mention the commentator Dugro Zugro, because I thought Dugro Zugro came out with some really sage comments last week, where he's saying that, yeah, we're not tipping even money chances on sweet spot. You know, Michael Thorbjornsson doesn't win, and then Dave Clark, my closest ally, is starting a witch hunt. He's 22-1 to win the golf tournament. So he's 22-1 on not to win the golf tournament. He finishes 31st of 120. C'est la vie. It's golf. I mean, I'm trying to stay positive, Dave. And people like Dugro Zugro helping me stay positive. Aaron Markham, our American friend, is really positive character. I need Aaron Markham just move into my house, because his positivity shines through on the comments section. My wife keeps me positive. Aaron Markham can keep me positive. It would be quite an odd set up in the house if Aaron Markham moved in, but I'd like him, because he's talking about the fight back, and I am feeling really positive about the fight back. Good. Guys like Dugro Zugro, guys like Aaron Markham, and myself, I'm so positive about this week. Aaron Markham was on the Fleetwood Higo double last week. I hope he played it each way. That was a great bet, and we weren't far from having a great time last week, and I know we didn't have a great time last week, but we were close, and we're going to be even closer this week. We're actually going to nail it this week. There's one tournament in particular that I find so straightforward, Dave. We'll come to it now.
I believe in you.
Thanks, Kevin Yu. I believe in Kevin Yu. Thanks, Dave.
Exactly. Right, let's move on then. That's Thorbjornsson addressed. I think we're going to see him again soon, aren't we? But there we go.
Yeah.
He's in my bin anyway. Jump in the comments. Let us know. Is he in your bin? Let us know. Right. It is the finale, the curtain closer of the DP World Tour. Really looking forward to this one. The DP World Tour Championships were at the Jumeirah Golf Estates. The Earth Course, I believe, Rory McIlroy's favourite. He's always raving about how much he loves the track. Tell us about the tournament this week and the track.
Yes, the Earth Course at Jumeirah Golf Estates, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, 7,706 yards, par 72, four par fives. It's hosted the DP World Tour season finale since 2009. Wide fairways, large greens, runoff areas around them. The winning score has been between 14 under par and 25 under par in every edition. Sunny and warm weather forecast. Temperatures peaking at 32°C. Calm mornings followed by breezy afternoons. Every day the same. A field of 52 going to post. So you've got the 50 qualifiers from the Race to Dubai rankings, and you've got two Ryder Cuppers taking advantage of that special exemption they get. Ludwig Aubert, Shane Lowry. The action starts about 5 a.m. UK time on Thursday morning.
Yeah, this is for our timings, this is lovely. Like, it'd be a nice finish on Sunday. It's all good. Right. Before we get into the actual tournament, it is, of course, the Race to Dubai. Rory McIlroy trying to win this for a fourth year in a row. If you care, these are the scenarios. Rory McIlroy, if he finishes second alone, would guarantee a win. Second alone or better would win. Marco Penge, a win. And Rory McIlroy finishes worse than second alone, and he wins it. He finishes second alone, and McIlroy finishes worse than fourth alone. He finishes tied for second with one other, and McIlroy finishes worse than tied for eighth with two others. He finishes tied for second with two others, and McIlroy finishes worse than 24th alone. And if you're still awake, Tyrrell Hatton can win it with a win, and McIlroy finishing worse than tied for eighth with one other, and Marco Penge finishing worse than tied for second with one other. So if they're not correct, I've taken them off the official site. I'm sure they are. They are your scenarios. If you care, there are three winners, but we're here to try and find the winner of a golf tournament, not the Race to Dubai. What sort of player are we looking for here, Steve? Length, right?
Yeah, this is a really long golf course. It's generous fairways. Yeah, you can really open your shoulders here. Strong ball striking, the key to success.
Okay, right. Previous winners. Rory McIlroy did actually win the event last year, as well as the Race to Dubai. Nicolai Højgaard, 2023, John Rahm, Morikawa, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, Danny Willett. 99 bunkers, a long course. Matt Wallace birdied every hole on the back nine last year in his third round, which was, of course, was on Saturday. So could be a birdie fest again. Steve's telling you need to be long. How many players are we tipping?
We got three, Dave, and then we got two in the PGA Tour event. So a total of five.
Good okay, match. Three and a two, six each way doubles if you like it. The betting here, Rory McIlroy ran about 4-1. Tommy Fleetwood, sevens. Tyrrell Hatton, 14s. Ludwig Aubert, similar price. And then bigger prices, everyone else. Star-studded field, who is the main selection?
That was all very interesting, Dave, but it's all going to become very, very simple when Rory McIlroy wins the DP World Tour Championship. I am not turning down the chance to devour this hot pot. McIlroy's record at the Earth Course, as you say, it's incredible. He's been teeing up at this track since 2009. He's played in this event 14 times. He's won three DP World Tour titles. He's finished in the top five nine times. He's 194 under par for his 56 rounds at the Earth Course. Set to win another race to Dubai. It'd be a seventh race to Dubai. So Colin Montgomery began very twitchy. I'd love a live cam on Colin Montgomery this week because when he got eight Order of Merits, as it was called back then, it looked like an unbeatable record. Now McIlroy's come along, surely going to smash that record in the years to come. McIlroy's driving, made for the Earth Course. This is a huge ballpark, generous fairways. McIlroy can dominate his rivals off the tee. The rest of his game's been in great shape this year. His putting has become a strength. He's enjoying the most glorious campaign of his life. I think McIlroy's looking to put the icing on the cake of a dream year. I mean, look at what he's done this year, Dave. He's won at Pebble Beach. He's won at Sawgrass. He's completed the Grand Slam at Augusta. He's won the Irish Open. He's won an away Ryder Cup. Now, put Earth Course glory on top of that cake. He'll move past Seve Ballesteros. Terry Balathiroff is on six. Rory McIlroy's on six. We're talking about European money lists here. This debate rages, doesn't it? Who's the greatest golfer in European history? It's between those two and Rory McIlroy has time on his side to make it an even more emphatic judgment. I think he already is, but he leaves Seve Ballesteros behind this week. And, he is the greatest golfer we European shores have ever produced. And that warm-up last week, Dave, oh, my God. Could you get a more perfect warm-up than the Abu Dhabi Championship and Rory McIlroy? Hardly hold a putt over the first 3 days. Yeah, particularly in round one, an ice-cold putter. Then come Sunday, everything just clicks into gear. One eagle, eight birdies, nine pars. Final round 62, finishes a shot shy of the playoff. I think only a sudden injury or a sudden illness can stop him contending this week, Dave. He looks a surefire contender. Don't forget, he's won the Dubai Desert Classic four times. You send Rory McIlroy to Dubai, very often comes home with a trophy. I think 4-1 is a more than fair price. I was delighted when I saw 4-1. And if it's the same deal as last week, Dave, if you think that price is too short for you, you know, our audience is the working man. If you don't like backing short price golfers, I'll say the same thing I said last week. The suggestion with Tommy Fleetwood and Luke Littler, put Rory McIlroy in with Luke Littler. We're still at the group stages of the Grand Slam of Darts. The knockout stages don't start until Wednesday, tomorrow. Luke Littler cruising through his group, almost, you know, so difficult to beat in long matches. So you can have 4-1 McIlroy, 15-8 Luke Littler. And you've got a blooming lovely double there. So there's options for the punter. I know tipping a 4-1 shot puts pressure on punters. Stick Luke Littler in and you've got, you know, like a 13-1 double, I believe.
I think you're actually wearing a McIlroy Littler double, are you? Talk us through.
I just threw this outfit together. Yeah. This is a Rory McIlroy signed cap from his first win when he won his first. Yeah, he won his first DP World Tour title in Dubai. The Dubai Desert Classic. So this Dubai is like always got a special place in Rory's heart. This was a signed cap from his first win. This is a Luke Littler shirt. That double is a great double, Dave. Two of the world's greatest sportsmen going to do their thing this week.
Right, I've got, before the show finishes, I've got something else to chuck in. If you want to make it a treble, I've got a really interesting bet. It's something a bit different. It's something a bit out there, but I've got something.
Is it a greyhound, yeah? Is it a greyhound?
No. I've got something for you. Don't worry. Right, so McIlroy, listen, do you know what? I checked the prices yesterday. because I thought, yeah, well, I'd be interested to see what price McIlroy is. And I thought we could be seeing him 9-4, 5-2 in the way he finished on Sunday. I was a little bit surprised to see him at 4-1.
It was exciting, wasn't it? Yeah. It was really exciting. I'm sorry, I can't get this cap sorted. It just doesn't fit very well. But you get the message. We're all behind Rory McIlroy and we're all behind Luke Littler.
We are behind Rory, indeed. Right, here's the main selection. Did you say you've got two for this? So who's the other player?
I've got three. This is a strong staking plan. Bear with me, Dave. We've got three in this, two in the next one. The next best is Nikolai Hogger, who won this title for us in 2023. That was the first leg of a wonderful double for us. Remember, Ludwig Bear won the RSM Classic later in the day. Those were the days, the joys of golf betting. We will have that joy again soon. Hoggard closed with a final round 64 to triumph by two shots. The earth course made for his talents. That power-packed draw. We saw that to devastating effect on the 18th hole of the Abu Dhabi Championship last week. Yeah, his approach to the last. He hit two perfect shots to set up an eagle chance and narrowly missed the eagle putt and one shot shy of the playoff. But Nikolai has got the game to destroy the earth course. He finished fourth on his DP World Tour Championship debut in 2021. Then he won on his second visit, and then he failed to qualify for his title defense last year. So his full earth course form figures are 4-1. Two of his three DP World Tour victories have come in the Middle East. He won by four shots in the Ras Al Khaimah in 2022. Don't forget, he was joint top scorer in the 2023 Hero Cup in Abu Dhabi. And he was at it again last week in the desert. Third place in Abu Dhabi, 65, 67, 65, 67. He's one of the biggest threats to McIlroy this week, if not the biggest threat.
Simple as that. Right, he is the second pick then. Who is the third?
Rasmus Hogger! I think this is such a straightforward golf tournament, Dave, to assess. It's clear that Rory McIlroy, emphatically the man to beat, and it's clear that the Hoggard brothers are massive dangers and fantastic each-way bets in such a small field. Don't forget how small this field is. The each-way terms are good this week. I know I'm asking a lot of punters to back all three of them. Yeah, win only on Rory. Each-way bets on the Hoggards is probably the best tactic. We've only got two selections on the PGA Tour, so this is the tournament we're focused on. It's the same total of players we had last week. Five bets. I'm just really keen to have a proper go at this tournament because the weather forecast is encouraging for having a proper bet. Every day the weather's the same. There's no draw bias, only 52 players in the field, no cut. So yeah, the best players get 72 holes to show their superiority. You go through this 52-man field, and for me, it's Rory against the Hoggards. We were on Rasmus last year for this. He gave Rory a really good run for his money. Rory McIlroy finished first. Rasmus Hoggard finished second. Rasmus's form figures at the earth course, 7-11-2 from his last three starts at the earth course. This time he arrives surely carrying more self-belief than ever. PGA Tour rookie campaign behind him, Ryder Cup debut on a winning side away from home, twice a runner-up on the DP World Tour this year, third in the Sanderson Farms Championship on the PGA Tour last month, then 14th in the Bay Current Classic in Japan, 23rd last week after a slow start in Abu Dhabi, improved his score each round, 72, 69, 67, 65. Rasmus is primed. Strong three-pronged attack. Yeah, I'm utterly convinced that we're going to have the winner of this golf tournament, Dave. Yeah, the sheepishness that I was showing last week. I mean, Dugro Zugro's inspired me not to be sheepish because, tipping golf tournament winners is not easy. And the sheepishness I showed last week is not on display this week. I'm just ludicrously confident. Dugro Zugro and Aaron Markham have inspired me.
Well, listen, a much shorter field, smaller field here. You're still getting across the board, sort of quarter of the odds, five places here. So it's a tournament to attack, it feels like.
It really does, Dave. It really does. We got a good record in this tournament, and I really like the look of it. You know, I get really excited when the weather forecast is fair. You know, the klaxon's nowhere near.
No klaxon,
and 72 holes, no cut. Rory McIlroy for me is the likely winner, and then he's just going to have the Hoggard brothers snapping at his heels.
Okay, well, let's keep it really short then on the market protagonists, if you like. Just a quick line or two on each one. I'll fire out a name and you give me a line. Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood.
Tommy Fleetwood played great last week. He dropped only one shot in Abu Dhabi, nearly won a third Abu Dhabi title. He always plays well in that, but his earth course record is not good for such an illustrious player. Only three top fives in 12 appearances, no wins. Yas Links is a better track for him than the earth course. He's not one of the bigger hitters. This is a big boy's golf course. And yeah. You know, obviously the disappointment of the playoff defeat. You know, his putter went cold over the weekend and then he messed up that first playoff hole. I don't see Fleetwood producing the same golf that he did last week.
Tyrrell Hatton.
Ragged. Just as one word, if you want. He was ragged last week. He made four double bogeys. He shot 75 on Sunday. So, yeah, you talk about all those players making 63s on Sunday. They've got some rust out. They got used to the course. Hatton, where's Hatton's excuse for a 75 on Sunday? He was 41st of 72. Never won at the earth course. So, yeah, I can live without Tyrrell Hatton, surely.
Okay, I will be heartbroken if Ludwig Aubert beats Rory McIlroy. What about Ludwig? Course debut.
Course debut, a well-established course. I think that's the key. You've got players that have been coming here since the old King died, and he's coming here for the first time. I mean, compare him with Rory McIlroy this week. Rory McIlroy first played on this course in 2009. He's only missed two editions. So it's 14 years of course experience, 1,008 holes. Rory McIlroy has played 1,008 competitive holes at the earth course. And Ludwig Aubert has played zero competitive holes at the earth course. That has to count for a lot. Course experience is a reason to avoid Ludwig, I'd say.
I love him, but it will break my heart. Bobby McIntyre.
Love will tear us apart, Dave. Bobby McIntyre, only one top five finish in six earth course starts. So, yeah, obvious threat, but just much prefer my three. I mean, I can't tell you how straightforward I found this golf tournament. I really, really, really enjoyed yesterday. Obviously, I went into my usual Monday processes, downbeat after the Higgopotamus failure. But I found the tournament so straightforward. And as I say, I'm losing confidence. It's a three-round race.
One other player I wanted to ask you about, former winner, Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah, two-time winner. There aren't many course winners in this field, but he's won it twice. Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah, I respect Matt Fitzpatrick, but just much prefer the dynamism of the Hoggar brothers.
Yeah. In an ideal world, it can't happen, I know, but McIlroy wins the tournament and we cop, and Marco Penge wins the race to Dubai. I'd love Marco Penge to win it.
Yeah. Well, you went through the mathematical.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah. It'd be lovely. He's one of our own, right?
Marco Penge is one of our. We've adopted him here on the Sweet Spot. He's one of our own.
Yeah. We do love Marco Penge. Nothing is impossible, Dave. Is that what the Nike advert used to say?
Impossible is nothing.
Impossible is nothing. Yeah. Let's get the grammar right.
Let's move on. We're aboard the Rory train. Let's move on. Right, Bermuda. Championship then, the PGA Tour event this week. Short, wind-exposed course. Let me give you recent winners. Rafael Campos, Camilo Villegas, Seamus Power, Lucas Herbert. Where are we and what sort of course are we tackling here?
Port Royal Golf Course, Southampton, Bermuda. 6,828 yards, par 71, three par fives. The Bermuda Championship was staged for the first time in 2019. The course was designed in 1970 by Robert Trent Jones. It's on high ground overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. Generous fairways, huge undulating greens. You get a lot of three putts in this tournament. And then the best hole, I'll be very interested to see what club you take, Dave. It's a 235-yard par three.
I'm hitting a spoon. I'm going to hit a spoon.
I thought you'd get the driver out like you did at the place we went to. What is it called? Pitch. The simulator.
Because you obviously knocked it on, didn't you? So, yeah.
I miss it. But three. Yeah, it's a par three, 235 yards over the ocean. So it's a carry over the ocean. It's a forced carry. It's a beautiful hole. It's a signature hole. I look forward to seeing that one. We've got a mixture of sunshine and showers. And it'll be breezy all week, Dave. This is the key from the weather forecast. loads of wind in the forecast, just consistently windy. So you have to be able to handle the wind this week to win. We've got a field of 120 going to post.
Right, I really like two players for this. I'm hoping that they're in your team. What is the attribute that we're going for here?
Well, an ability to play in the wind. Accuracy. These fairways are wide, but you know, given how windy it's going to be, it's not going to be easy to find the greens in regulation. And as I say, the three-putt stats here are eye-catching. You've got to putt really well to avoid three-putt. So good lag putting is another asset you require.
Okay, market leaders then. Rico Hoey, 20-1. Nico Echeverria, 22s. Thorbjørn Olesen, 22s. Kevin Yu is out there at 25s. Patrick Rogers, 28s. And then it's 30s bar. Two in the team. Who is the main selection?
Michael Thorbjørnsen.
He's not in the field. I checked. He's not in the field.
No, I knew you'd like that one, Dave. No, he's having a week off, so we can have a week off, Michael Thorbjørnsen.
Thank God, yeah.
The number one selection is Nico Echeverria. The most likely winner of the tournament, in my increasingly humble opinion. The breeze is going to be up all week. Echeverria loves competing in the breeze. He's waxed lyrical about playing golf in the wind. He's a master at controlling his ball in such conditions. You know, when it's breezy, swing it easy. Did your father ever pass on that advice to you, Dave? It's good advice. When it's breezy, swing it easy. And Echeverria is got great technique in that respect. His maiden PGA Tour title came in the Puerto Rico Open on a windy island in 2023, a windy Bermuda right up his alley. He nearly won the Sony Open this year. Do you remember we were on him for the Sony Open? It was heartbreaking. That was at another breezy coastal location in Hawaii. He was second in the RSM Classic last year at another windswept coastal location. So, yeah, I see a third PGA Tour title coming for the cheerful Colombian on Sunday. This is a 31-year-old who's grown comfortable on the PGA Tour. He won the Zozo Championship just over a year ago. He played in every major this year. He made the cut on his Masters debut. And his last two tournaments indicate that his A game is there for the final weeks of the year. He was ninth in the Bay Current Classic in his title defense in Japan. Then he closed with a 63 for 14th place in the Worldwide Technology Championship last week. He made 12 birdies on Sunday, though. 12 birdies in the final round at El Cardinal. He finished with 4 birdies in a row. There's an incredible round of golf on Sunday from Echeverria. He's coming to Bermuda with a wet sail, and his game is ideally suited to the assignment. He's accurate, Dave, so that win's not a problem. And he's become one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. I think that's fair comment. He's really, really good putter. And he's got steady Bermuda form figures. This is his fourth start in the event. So, yeah, all on Nico. I saw you smirking there, Dave. What were you going to say?
Yeah, no, he was one of the players that I like this week.
Oh, good.
I'm actually delighted. The other one is Thorbjørn Olesen. And, you know, I don't care whether he's in your team or not. You've given a mention to – I've backed Nico Echeverria loads and loads of times. He's a great putter. So, I'm happy already. Who is the other pick?
The next best is Pearson Coodie. Keeping the faith with Pearson Coodie, we remain confident. This lad has what it takes to become a PGA Tour champion. He's won 3 times on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's already wrapped up a PGA Tour car for next season. His sole focus this week is making a PGA Tour breakthrough. And he's one of the best players in this field. I was cheesed off last week by the tee times, Dave. He was drawn in the very last group out in round one. You know, worst of the greens, worst of the Thursday weather, rushing to get done before darkness descended. Coodie struggled to get going over the first 2 days from a poor set of tee times. Weekend rounds of 67, 66, hauled up to 31st place. His driving was typically amazing. You know, this is an amazing driver of the golf ball. He was 5th for greens in regulation. He was 68th in the putting stats today. So didn't hole anything. You know, the same sort of deal as Michael Thorbjørnsen. Any warming of the putter from Pearson Coodie and he'd be right in the thick of things this week. As we discussed last week, Coodie loves a tropical location. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in Panama. He's also played well in the Bahamas on the Korn Ferry Tour. And his Bermuda Championship debut last year resulted in 4 rounds in the 60s for 12th place. Bear in mind, please, that he'd missed 3 of his last 4 cuts coming to that tournament last year. So he's arrived in really poor form. He's fallen in love with Port Royal. He returns as a 25-year-old who appears on the brink of big things. He lost a playoff for the ISCO Championship last year. He was third in the 3M Open in July, third again in the Bank of Utah Championship at the end of last month. So it's only a matter of time, Dave, before Coody is making the bookmakers moody.
Lovely. Right, Rico Hoey, market leader. Thoughts on him?
Rico Hoey, yeah, when he opened up favourite, it made me feel a bit queasy, if I'm honest. This is a really bad putter. You know, Coody has spells of good putting. Rico Hoey just never putts well. He switched to the broom handle. You know, the broom handle is going to get blown all over the place this week. But I mean, tee to green, he's ideally suited to a windswept course. I mean, crisp ball striking will be the key to success. So he's a brilliant ball striker. He was 17th on his Bermuda debut last year. You have to respect him, but to be favourite, this is a PGA Tour maiden who can't putt. I know naysayers will be mentioning Michael Thorbjørnsen now and say, what about Michael Thorbjørnsen, Steve? Does he fit that description? Well, maybe, but Hoey is six years older than Michael Thorbjørnsen. Hoey is a 30-year-old maiden. I can't get excited about him at those odds.
What about Thorbjørn Olesen?
Yeah, I can see your excitement, old Thunder Bear. I can see why he's exciting you. But yeah, course debutant. You're backing a lot of course debutants at the moment, Dave.
It's not good. It's not clever, is it? It really isn't.
It's not clever. I mean, he should enjoy it, though. He should enjoy it. He can definitely play in the wind. Thunder Bear can handle the wind. He's won at a couple of coastal tracks on the DP World Tour. But yeah, this is a 35-year-old PGA Tour maiden. So yeah, I can see Olesen placing. Obviously, I've only got two tips. Olesen would be... If I was having more than two, I'd be seriously considering him. I prefer my two. Again, this is so straightforward. I mean, I was watching a blooming drama at 11 p.m. last night. Normally on a Monday, I'm in here till 1 a.m., 2 a.m., you know, burning the candles on and just, you know, really making sure everything's...
Burning the midnight oil is the expression.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think of one. If there's one, if you're in it at 2 a.m., are you still burning the midnight oil? Are you burning the 2 a.m. oil? That's why I stumbled there. There is no more, classification.
More importantly, in Steve Palmer's downtime, what drama is he watching on TV?
It's this really weird one on Sky Atlantic that there's a little fella that's a really good actor. I've seen him in other things. He's a fantastic actor. I can't remember his name. But it's Iris, something to do with Iris. And they're making some machine that's basically, they sort of built some machine that is God or something. I don't even fully understand it. It's not the sort of drama you should be watching late at night. But there's a really attractive lead actress. And I think she's a great, yeah, it's just some great acting there. But as I say, normally, yeah, it was just so easy. I found these goals.
Is it something that Mrs. Palmer wanted to watch and you was right?
Yes.
In?
Yeah, Mrs. Palmer's has been recommending it to me, and but yeah, she's as confused as I am. It was a, but it's just a joy to be watching a drama that time on a Monday. You know, less players to evaluate, I suppose. 52 runners and 120 runs, so that might be a factor. But as I say, I just found it so straight. There's no worries this week. There's no one that was close to selection. You know, I often have those concerns about so close to having him, like Fleetwood last week. There's no one. These are the five best bets. And as I say, I'm really confident of success.
I like it. So remind us where we're at in the golf. Not the golf, the darts.
Luke Littler won his first two matches of the group stages. He's already qualified. So he's playing one tonight. It doesn't really matter what happens tonight. Ideally, top the group. But the knockout stages start on Wednesday. So tomorrow, if you're watching on a Tuesday. And they're long matches from there.
Course 15 final. To 8. You happy with that?
Yeah, I think 15-8 is a fantastic price. I think there's only one player capable of beating him over 31 leg matches. So from quarterfinals onwards, it's best of 31 legs. And I'd say Luke Humphries is the only player capable of beating him. But the odds don't reflect how much better Luke Littler is than the rest. You know, this is the new Phil Taylor. Phil Taylor used to go off 4-9 for darts tournaments. Luke Littler's going off 2-1 for darts tournaments. Get him in your double with Rory McIlroy, and then. Who's this? This is not a greyhound you're going to throw my way.
It is not a greyhound. Right.
Is it?
Strap yourselves in. I've got a 3-1 good thing for you. And we are going to the jungle.
Oh.
We're going to the jungle. The favourite, I think, is a good thing. There's already a little bit of momentum online. The younger generation, who I don't really think are avid viewers of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out the Jungle, whatever the hell it's called. But Angry Ginge, I don't know if you're aware of Angry Ginge. He's sort of a Twitch streamer, big in the YouTube world. All that mate. Generation.
He's mates with Luke Little, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know Angry Ginge. He's been in the crowd sometimes watching Luke Little. Yes,
and I think the younger generation, the support is already there. It's going to swell. And if they start voting, which obviously is what this one hinges on, 3-1 is enormous, absolutely enormous. Like, there are some faces in it. Martin Kemp, I'm sure many people will know. Kelly Brook, which I'm looking forward to seeing how she performs in the jungle. But Angry Ginge is 3-1. And yeah, you could have a mate's best mate's double, if you like, there, Luke Littler and Angry Ginge. 3-1 is out there. There's you know, it's 9-4, 2-1 in a place already. There's a little bits and pieces around, but I've not seen the
No, okay, Dave.
I'm not going to watch it. I've got no interest in watching it at all.
I didn't know it was. I'll go and have a look at the field now. I always tell Wayne Mardle to go in that, but he don't fancy it. I assume he's not in it. Is Russ Bray in it? I always tell Russ Bray to go in it. Yeah, I think Russ Bray would be very good in that. He's like a big grizzly gorilla. He'd fit in the jungle. But I know Wayne doesn't fancy it. But Angry Ginge, Angry Ginge. Okay, no, I'll have a look at that, Dave.
Older generation will have no idea who this person is, but that just for me, once the younger generation who do know who he is latch on to that, and that kind of ongoing sort of narrative of who is this, we've got a YouTuber, blah blah blah, they'll latch on to that and the votes will come flooding in and he'll win at a canter. So I think the fab's a good thing. I won't be watching it, I've got no interest in it whatsoever.
Does he get angry then? Does Angry Ginge get angry? Because
I'm assuming so. Yeah, I'm not familiar with.
You need to stay calm. You know, stay calm. Like, if he doesn't have a lot of food, and then he gets even angrier, then he might punch someone and get disqualified or something. So, okay.
I saw the market, and I've gone down the runners. And I think if the younger generation latch on and start voting, this is an absolute good thing.
All right, Dave. No. Wait, we got winners coming at you from all directions here. The sweet spotters are enjoying this one.
Yeah, but as I say, I will reaffirm that there is no need at all to watch the programme. I won't be watching it, but I'll be backing the favourite to win it.
Got it, Dave. Got it.
Right, give us a roundup then. We've got the season finale in the DP World Tour. Remind us of your selections then for the DP World Tour Championship, Steve.
Rory McIlroy, Nikolai Hoger, Rasmus Hoger.
And the Bermuda Championship.
Nico Echeverria, Pearson Coody.
And I'm really pleased to see that you've kept your pecker up, mate, after a disappointing week last week.
Nah, Pecker's staying up. Pecker's staying up. Family doing well. I had a lovely dog walk with the wife yesterday morning. Got me in a good frame of mind. And I'm really encouraged by the progress my son is making. He's finally switched to the interlocking grip, Dave. I've been I first suggested the interlocking grip to him when he was 11 months old and he was not interested. Every year I've tried to get him to switch to the interlocking grip. And he's just like, get lost. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. It doesn't want any coaching. And then last Saturday, on Saturday morning, I suggested it again, expecting the usual response. And he actually asked what it was, wanted to learn it. So I think 6 years old is the sweet spot, if you will, for when they're ready to learn grips. You know, kids are ready to learn grips. I mean, I've been a bit pushy in the early years. I obviously regret that now. But he mastered it straight away, Dave. He got the interlocking grip going and he was hitting it better. And I just was so encouraged by that. That's probably where my joy is coming from here. My pecker is up because he's got the interlocking grip now, which is going to help him in future. And I said to him, when I switched the interlocking grip, I was 21 years old. I didn't have anyone helping me with that respect. And you start off baseball grip. Everyone starts on baseball grip. You've probably been through the same thing in your day. You suddenly realize that you need to switch to the proper grip. And, as I say, I was 21 and it took me about 6 months to get used to it. And Yeah, so I think Tommy Tiger's on the path to greatness. Maybe Michael Thorbjornsson needs to make that switch. Did you realize that there's hardly any PGA Tour professionals with a baseball grip? Do you know is one of those? Yeah, I've given you a big clue there.
you kind of spoil a little bit. I'll tell you what, the thing that I've been interested in is this floating right thumb that some of the players, I'm quite interested in that. I'm going to try that out.
Yeah. No, try that out. But yeah, Michael Thorbjornsson has got the baseball grip and he's the best driver on the PGA Tour. So
I don't care. He's dead to me, so I don't care.
Yeah, sure. No, he's in your bin, isn't he? See his head poking out of your bin.
It's been a pleasure as ever, Steve. We've got all bases covered. We've got reality TV covered, all the golf covered, the darts covered, the whole lot. It's not a problem. Come in for your parenting needs as well. We are here on The Sweet Spot every single week. You out there, get involved with us. Jump in the comments. Like, comment, subscribe. Remember to smash that notification bell so when we upload, you will know. Gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next week.